the word. As the word is taught us tonight, we receive it
with gladness of heart.
We receive it with clarity. There's no error in our mind, and as your word is taught us. Amen. Glory to God. So we're looking at the Christian prayer ministry. This is the fifth section, and hopefully I'll round this teaching up here today or take up something for next time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Christian prayer ministry. Hope we'll be following it every week, right? You understand what we've been looking at? The Christian prayer ministry. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's see a couple of things this evening. Matthew chapter 28. Beg that if you're sitting at the back, come forward, because I don't think my voice can go that far today. Matthew 28, from verses 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All power," that's the word authority, "has been given me in heaven and in the earth. He says, go therefore and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the age. Amen." Hallelujah. Mark 16 from verses 15. Mark 16 from verse 15. "And he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe, shall follow them that believe. They in my name they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And he went forth and preached everywhere, with the Lord walking with them and confirming the word with signs following." Hallelujah. So we say, this will be Jesus' instruction within the 40 days. Right? And something I've shared with us is the fact that though it was captured differently, it's the same instruction. Hallelujah. The same instruction. Don't get into that boat. Every day, no. Bible doesn't contradict itself. Bible, scriptures, doesn't contradict itself. I can say it 100% with my full mouth open. When you find contradiction, it's not in the Bible. It's in your mind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What you find contradiction will be in your mind, not from the scripture. The scripture doesn't. And I told us that is because of the fact that when the apostles or when the writers of the synoptics were penning down what we call the synoptic account, they didn't pen it down as the events were unfolding. Hope you're following me. They didn't pen it down as it was happening. They penned it down decades after it has happened. So you'll find that human element in terms of, put it this way, in terms of, as regards the timing. And that is supposed to be, because it wasn't penned down immediately. Hallelujah. Something else you observe is the fact that you also ask yourself, how do they write? Now, if they were to write all that Jesus said to them within the 40 days and all the instructions together, word for word, verbatim, maybe you'll be carrying your Bible inside Ghana Must Go. I'm telling you, you'll be carrying it inside Ghana Must Go. Amen. Say, where are you? I'm coming to church. Where's your Bible? They are pushing it inside truck. This is Bible. But the way they'll write in subject matters. Hallelujah. I showed us that. Glory to God. I showed us that. Right in subject matter. That they are telling you, if you see what he's writing, if you see this, then you would know from the scriptures what he's writing about. Hallelujah. For example, Matthew chapter 22, quickly. Follow me there. Verses 37. I will read 36. This is the Pharisees. they heard that they had put a finishing blow to the Sadducees. And he came and asked him a question in verse 17, Master, what is the great commandment of the law? Did you see that? What is the great commandment of the law? And Jesus answered and said, this is how Matthew penned it down. He's answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first command, first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hangs the law and the prophets. Now this is how Matthew wrote that Jesus responded to the question. Hallelujah. Now, when you look at this, you think Jesus said, oh, when he asked him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, as if he was rapping with all the mind. No. Let's see how Mark would put it. Mark 12, verse 38. Amen. Oh, sorry, 28. And one of the scribes came, having heard them reasoning together and perceiving he had answered them well, asked him, saying, what's the first commandment of all? And Jesus said, the first of all commandment is. Now, look at how Matthew put it. You should love the Lord thy God straight, right? Now, look at how Mark puts it. He said, Yahweh Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. And I said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all. The same thing that Matthew wrote. Did you see that? Now, what's the difference? Yeah, we use the Lord thy God is one God. So, did Jesus not say? You have to understand how did they write. Now, what Jesus said, he was reading, they asked him what's the first commandment of the Torah. Right? What's the greatest commandment of the Torah? And he read the scriptures to them. Now, imagine, I'm going to show you something now. If they were to write out all Jesus said, you discover that even Matthew, maybe Mark 12 will have been from verses 1 to verse 200. Hallelujah. But what did he do? They understood Jesus' thoughts. What Jesus said, he taught it from the scriptures. So what they did was to build a reference so that you would see where he went from. Open your Bible to Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6. Hope you can hear me from the back. Okay. Deuteronomy 6. Now, it's believed Jesus, Matthew. Look at verse 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Did you see that? Right? Now look at where Mark picks it from verse 4. Yea, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. Thou shalt. So what do you think Jesus did? What do you think they are doing? They are referencing Deuteronomy so that you will come back and read Deuteronomy to see what Jesus' response was. Did you see that? Amen? So Jesus read Deuteronomy into Leviticus for them. So they are drawing attention back to Deuteronomy. Now, not that Jesus just quoted Deuteronomy 6:4 or 6:5, because when Jesus, or let me put it like this, scripture was not written in chapters and verses. Did you see that? So what they have done is for them to show you a reference. So when they chose, Yahweh Israel, the Lord thy God is one God, they are telling you, go and read Deuteronomy. That's where Jesus responded from. So that means Jesus would have read from verses for the sake of this class. For the sake of this class. Jesus would have read from verses 1 even to the end. Hallelujah. Jesus would have read that whole paragraph to them. Amen. So for the apostles or the writer of this topic to tell you to go and read Deuteronomy 6, to pick out, because in their world, when they were writing, they were not like Deuteronomy 6. It's just Deuteronomy. Chapters and verses just started recently. Right? So, if not, at any minute it was written in chapter and verses, they would have told you, rush down to Deuteronomy chapter 6. That's where Jesus read from. Did you see? Yeah? Can you see? So, what is he doing? They are telling you, go and read Deuteronomy 6. So they picked out that reference as the subject matter. Go read it.
Come for a minute. Just to say what some of you will write. And everything I've spoken about just now. I can bet you two people will not write the same thing, except you are copying yourself. Somebody will just write, oh, Jesus read from the throne of God. Right? Oh, here what he's saying is before. Why are you writing differently? You are writing the subject matter so that when you pick up your notes again, you know this is what pastor said along this line. That's how to write. Hallelujah. That's how to write. So that was how they wrote. It's not, oh, it's two different things. No, it's the same thing. Hallelujah. So those scriptures were reference for you to go and read what Jesus said to them. Hallelujah. Can you see? Mark and Matthew, in that response, were not contradictory. They only picked out the same subject matter, but written differently. Did you see that? Right? Why Mark will start from verses 4 as his reference, Matthew picks just verse 5. But they are telling you, go and read the whole of Deuteronomy 6. That paragraph, read it. That was where Jesus read from. Hope you understand that. So Bible doesn't contradict. You'll find contradiction in scripture. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So very vital. So when we get to Matthew 28, and it says teaching them, we say the Christian faith is knowledge-based faith. The knowledge-based faith. Where your worship of God is effective to the degree of your knowledge of Him. Knowledge is very important in Christianity. Very vital. Hallelujah. And I told us that the believer must pride in knowledge, the knowledge of God's word. A few things I will say to you today so that you understand some certain things. Hallelujah. You must learn to pride in the knowledge of God's word that you have been taught. Glory to God. If knowledge wasn't important, the apostles won't have desired for brethren, for believers to grow in knowledge. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 18. Peter will say, grow in the grace of our Lord Jesus. I mean, grow in grace, sorry, and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He calls grace, to grow in grace, to grow in knowledge. Hallelujah. Amen. To grow in knowledge. That's a desire. Growing grace, that is in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. Paul will pray for the churches, and his prayer was a desire for spiritual growth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Philemon chapter 4, or Philemon 4 to 6, that the communication of your faith will become effective. Effectual, operative, say by the acknowledging, precise, accurate knowledge of things, accurate of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Every good thing in you in Christ Jesus. So knowledge is vital to the believer. Okay, following me. Knowledge is vital. Is vital. In your worship of God, what plays out is your knowledge of Him. Is your knowledge of Him. In your worship of God, what plays out is your knowledge of Him. Hallelujah. Worship of God. Glory to God. And it will show in your prayer. Last time I warned us and I said, don't be found laughing at people or praying the way they do. Don't be found mocking prayer or Christian activity. Don't be found. I say it and I say it again. There are people that I would have loved. They are comedians that I love to listen to. But I can't listen to them because they make mockery of sacred things. Prayer is sacred. They say, well, the church is sacred. You can't be listening to mockery, yes, concerning the look, the church. Amen. You can't be.
People are laughing, you are laughing too. I could mention names before I don't listen to anymore. Teeth, good teeth, yes, but I can't listen to it. Why? Because it's making jesting of things that I hold sacred, things that scripture holds sacred. Hallelujah. Amen. How can you be listening to skits about somebody that is doing prophetic work and is lying? Some people, all they know about pastoring, about pastors, all they learned on social media. So if you tell them pastor, that comes to their head, it's a pastor. How can you make progress? When all you fill your mind with is wrong things. Never be found. Okay, you're ready. Never be found. You are watching teeth and you're laughing. Who is making you laugh? The one that they call Pastor Remote. I thought your life is being remoted away. And you're laughing about it. It's making mockery of sacred things. So that you get angry. We are laughing, watching it to the end, 13 minutes. You tell you to pray for 13 minutes, 5 minutes into the prayer, you're already holding on. You're already sleeping and opening your eyes. You're watching skits that make jest of things that are sacred. No, don't. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. So don't be found mocking. Even mocking people who are praying. See. Do you find people who pray a wrong way? Yeah. Sometimes you find people who are praying, God should kill people. It's a product of wrong knowledge. Some people, the knowledge they know about prayer is that God is a killer. Yeah, they believe God is a killer. Fight on my back. I remember one time like that, my mom, we went to a church, and then it's time to pray, and I said, bring out your spiritual axe. I looked at myself, I didn't have an axe. It was called spiritual sword. I didn't have any. I was thinking, well, where am I going to buy sword from? And I saw everybody raise their hand up like this. I didn't get what was happening. Until the prayer point was raised. And I saw people doing like, chase that. And me, I was just saying, yes, too. I didn't even get it. But I was laughing. I was just in shock. I was laughing. They go home. Ah! I dealt with it. I was just laughing at them. What's the name of that? But you know, I'm going to be found doing it. Yeah, I'm serious. I hope I'm ready today. Hallelujah. The letter you just need. And be found doing that. And I'm laughing. I'm just praying. I remember one time like that. This was around 2009, thereabouts. They invited a minister who came around to a church that I attend, and they were now saying, turn to the left, release fire. I was turning, but if you think I was releasing fire, then you are a joker. I will turn to the left, I was laughing. I was in it. I was turning to it. So you might be there. Pastor, you were releasing fire. Enemies were dying. No enemy was dying. No. And I wasn't found in that. So the next day they asked me to go, I said I'm not going. Why? Because I was there the first day, I was sitting in front. So I couldn't just walk out. I said I'm not going. And I was going to be throwing fireballs. Okay, yeah. But I won't be found. I won't be found making jest of prayer today. Now every time I've made jest of prayer, I have. But today I can't because, you know, it's a reflection of my knowledge of God's word.
A reflection of my knowledge of God's word is that I've come to know that things that was once sacred, things that God holds sacred. Amen. See, because many times you think, oh, well, I'm not laughing, I'm laughing at the way they are praying. No. It's a sin line. Hallelujah. Just don't laugh at it at all. How many are you? They might be doing it wrongly. Doesn't mean you should laugh at it. Glory to God. Amen. It's just like you laughing at somebody is doing evangelism in the bus and he's talking about you go to hellfire and you just started laughing. You are judged. Because you that know the word, you do not stand up to preach inside the bus. Somebody I didn't really know, as you claim, stood up and was preaching and you are laughing at me. Are you not judged? That one has kingdom, has God in mind. You really have knowledge that will only come at you. Hallelujah. Person stood up and is preaching. Hell is real. You go to hell fire. God send his son. Like, don't believe. And you are laughing. He doesn't know the word. Heaven is on earth. He doesn't know the word. You know, you have heaven now. Heaven is the word. But then when you die, who are you going to? He doesn't know. He doesn't know. But you that know, you sat down. You that know. You close all the leading of the Spirit to stand up. Even when the Spirit is giving you nothing to preach inside the bus, they are saying, no, it can't be the Holy Ghost. Salah, Bashar, Lafati. Somebody say, praise God. And you are judged. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't be found mocking sacred things. Don't be found. Come here, don't be found. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay. So we said prayer is a temple activity. We saw that. Hallelujah. Where in their world they go to the temple to pray. Offer sacrifices. This is that offer sacrifices. And Jesus speaks that from what we saw in Matthew chapter 21. And he said, make not my father's house a den of thieves. This is that. Hallelujah. Make it not a den of thieves. So my father's house shall be called a house of prayer. A house of prayer. Watch it. House of prayer. House of prayer. So that means a vital activity in the Father's house is prayer. A vital activity in the Father's house is prayer. And the Father's house is our gathering. The Father's house is in home. It's at home in us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Therefore, a vital activity in the believer's gathering should be prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Any church, any local assembly that doesn't place emphasis on prayer and give room for people to pray is not fulfilling God's task for the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Prayer is vital. Vital. So we saw that what mustn't go off in the temple is prayer, right? I would say prayer deals with God's will for the earth. Prayer deals with God's will for the earth. And what is God's will? God's will be heaven in all the earth. Heaven in all the earth. That is God's will. God's will deals with men. Men. And Jesus modeled it for us. He's God. Jesus is God. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God.
The same was in the beginning with God, and all things was created by the hand. Without him was anything made that is made. In him is life, and the light is the light of men. And light shines in darkness, and darkness comprehended not.
So there was a man who was sent to bear witness of the light. There was a man. He said the same came to bear witness of the light, but he is not a light. But was sent to bear witness. He's not a light. But was sent to bear witness of the light. That was a true light. Would light every man that comes into the world. It was in the world. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called the sons of God, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the word became flesh, and tabernacled among us. The word that is God became flesh. So Jesus is God. See, permit me to say this. I know I've said this to us several, but I'm going to say it again. Jesus is God. Jesus is not a type of God. Jesus is the God. I'm going to spend on teachers that maybe come GPL and I'll come next day. Amen. Jesus is God. The God of the Old Testament became a man. Hope you're hearing me. When you hear God in the Old Testament, it is Jesus. Hallelujah. That's Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What is he called before the incarnation? He's called God. He's God. Hallelujah. Hope you hear me. Jesus is God. They know Jesus is not God. Jesus is a prophet. Sure, alright. But you have the word prophet. Prophet is not a person. Prophet is a function.
Is God. In fact, he's not a prophet. He's not God, he's a prophet. In the Old Testament, God is called angel.
God is called a messenger.
So what are you not saying? So you say he's not God, he's a servant. What was he called in the Old? He's not servant. So he's God. Hallelujah.
Don't see. When a believer, when a Christian doesn't believe Jesus is God, he's not a believer. What makes you a believer? A believer is one who believes that Jesus is God.
That's what you believe in.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Jesus is God, and Jesus modeled for us how a man should, how a man should conduct himself in the world, or put, just modeled for us that a man cannot fulfill God's tasks in the earth outside prayer. Cannot fulfill God's tasks outside the earth. Cannot fulfill God's tasks, in the earth outside prayer. You cannot fulfill God's tasks in the earth outside prayer. Moses showed us that. He showed us the man who believes Abraham. Abraham is called God's prophet. Abraham was found praying in Genesis 18. Jesus was found praying. Jesus is a man of prayer. He was found always praying. Therefore we see, when you look at the apostles, after the ascension, remember when Jesus resurrected, they were found with him, and he was teaching them for 40 days, right? So the ascension means he will be found in them. That's the meaning, right? He ascended and seated on high. Means he was found in them. Hallelujah. Amen. So the indwelling is called the ascension. So in the ascension, when Jesus ascended, or when Jesus was taken out of their sight in the natural, what did you find them do? Praying. Hallelujah. Acts 1:14, the first activity you found was that they were praying together. Acts 1:14. They were praying. You do not be, it cannot and shouldn't be lost on you that the book of Acts, a major activity with the apostles was prayer. And that was why they had the kind of results they had. Prayer. Hallelujah. Prayer. Glory to God. Watch this. What is the difference when Jesus was killed and when he ascended? When he was killed, the disciples went hiding. They were not praying, they went to hide. But now, after the ascension, when he was taken out of their sight physically, what were they doing? Praying, doing the work of ministry. What is the difference? Jesus taught them. Did you see that? Did you see that? So as soon as he was taken away from their sight, they ascended. What happened? They were found praying. What does that tell you? What does that tell you? A sign that one is knowledgeable or has come to knowledge is he or she will be found praying. You cannot say, I know the word. I know the word and I'm not praying. You don't know anything. It will show your prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You'll be found praying. So the product of teaching is prayer. Hope you are hearing me. The product of the teaching ministry is your prayer work. So the product of the teaching meeting is prayer meeting. Hallelujah. Hope you are hearing me. Prayer meeting. You are taught well. You are taught well. Hope you are hearing me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. So I have in my notes, a sign of one being knowledgeable or has come to knowledge that he will be found in the activity of prayer. Not prayer for things. Not prayer for natural needs. Not prayer to kill the enemy. No. Prayer that is centered on God's will. Hallelujah. Prayer that is centered on God's will. Centered on God's will for the earth. Glory to God. So last time we said, the prayer activity should be a constant one. Right? Should be a constant one. I will look at Leviticus chapter 6, from verse 9 to 13. It says the fire. Let's go to Leviticus 6. Or verse 9. Say, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. This is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night unto the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be burning. So whose responsibility? The priest, right? The priest? Is a priest? So when the Bible says you are a priest, we are priests. You are not priests that you be wearing white robe and be doing confession Sunday. No! Hallelujah! You are not priests. Because you went to a seminary school. No, you are a priest because you are saved. Hallelujah. So this is the responsibility of the priesthood. Look at Peter quickly. Put your hands in Leviticus, we're coming back to this. Rush quickly to Peter. 1 Peter 2, 9. Please permit my voice. The product of workers' conversion. Please. It says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. He says, ye, you are a royal priesthood. Did you see that? When he says royal priesthood, there is where you find the word king priest. You are a king priest. Hallelujah. You are a royal priesthood, king priest. So that means you are both a king and a priest. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 1. Are you there? Verse 5. Is it from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and firstborn of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth? Oh, sorry quickly. Sorry. Because I missed that one. Okay. That's me. How did I miss that? Thank you. That's six. Okay, let's just read. Alright, say, He has made us kings and priests unto God. Did you see that? He has made us kings and priests. He has made us. It's not He's going to make us. He has made us. Hallelujah. We are kings and priests. Hallelujah. We are kings and priests. We are kings and priests. Hallelujah. So, what would a priest be found doing? Fire on the altar. Did you see that? I would say that burning, that burnt offering that was born is what? Prayer. Did you see that? Amen? So how do you do your priestly work first? Prayer. Oh, I'm going to teach you the priestly ministry of the believer. And I said that prayer is one of these things. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Prayer is one of it. Hallelujah. You see, I'm kinging. How are you kinging on TikTok? How are you kinging Instagram? Are they happening, people? No! How do you king? You king in the place of prayer. Hallelujah. When you hear the word king, king means you. King, when you hear the word king, I want to change your mind when it comes to king. The first one that I start saying, I'm king in my yard, if I said to told you over my work. Ask about my origin, I'll tell you who I'm with. I will watch you next year. I will remind you till you get to 100 years. I will watch you next year that the devil cannot handle. When a believer is adding lies. Amen. Hallelujah. I have a video. I'll play that video on my birthday. I will release it. I'll just release it on my birthday. So we were wearing wonderful clothes, hats, everything. I'm changing my jar. Amen. Sometimes I just carry my phone and I watch some of those things.
Oh, thank you.
Amen. We are kinging. How are you kinging? I'm the king's key. Mouth, I'm the king's key. Fresh boy. Blink, blink. Guys, all you are the king's key. You are kinging by wearing blink, blink. Very Timberland. Lansing. I'm kinging. I'll be walking down the street. Oh, heaven's day.
What's wrong with you?
No.
Who are these people?
They are wearing patterns. Kinging. Our people are people's teacher. Where is Sunday? Change Sunday. It's Sunday. That other guy is Godwin. Kinging. I saw one of his teachers. On Facebook. He did like this kinging.
I like
Some of you, some of them had it all over their Facebook. Kinging. Kinging. Kinging.
You are kinging.
I saw it all. Hallelujah. So that when I go to some picture and I see it, I say, this is kinging. Parable. Hallelujah. It's good. Don't laugh at it too. Don't laugh at it because we are far above. Don't laugh at it.
We are changing. We know who we are. We know our place. We know our rights and privileges in Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Don't think you are joking there. Those things you are doing there, you are putting God's word to work.
I'm not saying it's not that big. Look at where you, look at how far you've come, knowing your rights and privileges in Christ. One thing you know as a king is that you know your rights. Those that say, I'm king. You know, when you fall sick, you don't even rush to take it from someone. You say, I'm king, I'm the king's kid. I refuse to be born. I refuse to be sick. You're the king's kid. Hallelujah. But there's something else about the king's kid that you must know. Hallelujah. Something else about the king that you must know. When you hear the word king, king deals with territory. Hallelujah. King deals with territories. When you hear the word a king, something that must be underlining is that there is a territory. You can't be a king without a territory. Hope you're hearing me. You can't be a king without a territory. Where you're a king, territory. Hallelujah. I remember I told you, the kingdom of God is about territory. It's about territory. Territory is not found on land. Territory is men. It's men. So when they are a king and a priest, it speaks of territories. Men, it speaks of prayer. Start to get the men prayer. Hallelujah. You can't say you are king. You can't say you are a priest and you are not praying. That's why you prayed was last week. They can count the amount of time you prayed in the year. I prayed twice in January. You can count it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can gauge the amount of minutes you pray. I pray every day. I pray for 5 minutes. Hey. And I say I'm kinging. I'm not kinging anything. Hallelujah. You know, something you must never forget was all the time you were doing, I'm a king's kid. What are you always doing? We're not always going to pray. In as much as some of you turned prayer grounds to laying of hands, but you were praying. Hallelujah. That's how you were kinging. That was the real kinging, not the picture. The picture wasn't the kinging, but that prayer was the kinging. Hallelujah. You're taking territory. So people then began to have men. I said I'm going to expose some of those things that we did not know. And then to take your mind back again. Some people started cell. Their cell was flourishing. God gave me prayer. The moment you began to lose prayer power. The moment you began to lose prayer fire. Look at what began to happen. You must never let the fire go down. Never. Hallelujah. So at a point, people became afraid of what we were doing. Don't you know? People became scared of what we were doing. People were saying, hey, don't do this. Because they were like, what happened? It was like a wave. It was prayer power. Hallelujah. It was prayer power. It was prayer power. Hallelujah. It was prayer power. That's how you think, prayer. A man who is not born again, I'm jumping towards the end of my notes already, but it's sufficient. So, when a man is not born again, Ephesians chapter 2 shows us the man is under the control of the devil. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2 verse 2. Quickly, let's watch that. Ephesians 2:2. It says, "Where in time past they walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walks in the train of disobedience." So a man who is not born again is under the prince of the power of the air. He's not in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A man who is not born again. Verse 11. Okay, verse 12. Say that at that part, ye were without Christ, being aliens of the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of the promise, having no hope without God in this world. So when a man is not born again, he's in the territory of the devil. Hope you're seeing that. He's where? In the territory of the devil. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6. Okay, verses 4.
2 Corinthians 4, 4. It says, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. The man who doesn't believe is under the God of this world. His eyes are blinded. Hope you are seeing that here. Hope you are seeing that. So, when you say you are kingdom, is a conquest. Hallelujah. When you say you are kingdom, it then means you are, you. Remember I told you, kingdom, at the background of kingdom is territories. Hallelujah. And what is God doing in the earth? Territories. He's taking over the earth for himself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's building his heaven in all the earth. That's what God is doing. So it's territories. Hallelujah. So when you say you are kingdom, it therefore means you are taking territory. You are taking territories. Men that are under the control of the devil, you are kingdom because you are taking territories. Hallelujah. Amen. So a believer must be territorial. Must be kingdom conscious. Amen. You must be kingdom conscious. And it deals with territories. Hallelujah. 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 We are coming there shortly. It deals with territory. It's territory. So you are dealing with men. Men. And you think you do it by WhatsApp post? No. No. WhatsApp post is going to help. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not done in the light for people to see what you are doing. No. It's what you do. Hallelujah. Because you know the essence of who you are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, back to Leviticus 6. Hope you're still there. Leviticus 6. So, he's telling that to a priest, and he's telling the priest the fire shall keep burning in the altar. Look at verses 13. And the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never, say it shall never go down. It shall never go out. Hallelujah. Say my fire shall never go out. Hallelujah. Fire can never go out. And that is prayer. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. Are you there? Verses 17. It says, pray without ceasing. Did you see that? Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit.
The rendering there, the Greek word, quench not the spirit fire. How? Pray without ceasing. So this is an instruction. So when you hear quench not the spirit fire, that is the discourse. Quench not the spirit fire. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Hallelujah.
So how do I not quench the spirit fire? By praying without ceasing. Keep praying. Keep pushing in the place of prayer. Hallelujah. Keep pressing in the place of prayer. Keep pressing in the place of prayer.
Many times some people learn how to give up. Give up. No. In Luke 18, Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to give up. Hallelujah. Or you see people give up too easily on things, on people, and people are not given to prayer. Hallelujah. Pray and you press. Hallelujah. You press. You press. They flogged the children, they flogged the apostles, they went back to preach. Hallelujah. You press in the place of prayer. Hallelujah. Learn to press. Learn to push again. Hallelujah. Push again in the place of prayer. I say glory. Learn to push in the place of prayer.
Hallelujah.
Learn to push in the place of prayer. The books.
You don't have to open the Bible. Hallelujah.
So you learn to push in the face of prayer. Press.
Hallelujah. Not giving up on men. Hallelujah. Not giving up on people. Not giving up on the task. I'm a person of prayer. That's what you say to yourself.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You don't quench the spirit fire. You don't quench the spirit fire. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at something. Jesus, when men don't pray, Luke 22. When men pray, what is happening?
The spirit, you put off always the spirit fire, right? When men pray always, the spirit fire is burning, right? You put it on.
But what about when men don't pray? Luke 22 verse 40. And when he was at the place, he said to them, pray that ye enter not into temptation.
So when men don't pray, they fall into temptation.
They fall into temptation. Look at what James, how James will put temptation. James. Watch to James. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verses James 1:13. It says, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. For every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed.
Did you see that? Of his own lust and enticed.
Watch it. Hallelujah. And when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Hallelujah.
Did you see that? So, Paul, I mean, James, including Paul, is saying that temptation is a product of man's desire.
Man's desire. Temptation is a product of man's desire. So when men do not pray, they fall into their desire.
When men don't pray, watch it. Look up here. Watch it. Look up. You are supposed to put, keep what's burning? The fire of the spirit. Right? How? By praying. So when you don't pray, watch. When you don't pray, you are quenching the fire of the spirit. So which fire are you setting up? Your desires. You see that? What is the fire of the spirit? The desires of God. What is your own personal fire? Your desire, man's desires. Stop. What is that called from what I've been teaching you? Strange fire. What we are saying is, so man's desires are strange. It's what is called strange fire. Hallelujah. So that means when a believer is not praying, right? When a believer is not praying, he is lighting up strange fires. Strange. Hallelujah.
And we have warnings in scriptures concerning strange fire. Numbers, quickly. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. I need to see everything I'm showing you tonight. Oh, glory to God. So I have someone slips to me. I mean, sorry. Let's get back to what I'm looking at. We were in Leviticus 6, right? Right? Okay, let us scroll up to Leviticus 10 instead. Go to Leviticus 10. Verse 1. It says, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took. Now what is supposed to be in
the worship, what is supposed to be in the temple burning? Fire of God's Spirit, right? Fire, right? That is prayer. Now what were these two people did?
And took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense therein and offered what? Straight fire before the Lord. Can you say offer their desires in the temple? They allow their desires. No. When you pray, your desires are consumed by God's fire. Hallelujah. Your desires are consumed by God's fire. Hallelujah. Your desires are consumed. That is why the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 that our God is a consuming fire. It doesn't consume people to kill them. It consumes strange fires. Our desires. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It consumes strange fires. Our desires. Then I said, let brotherly love continue. What is brotherly love? That is the fire of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Walking in the Spirit. So the fire of the Holy Ghost consumes us to walk in the Spirit. To walk in God's will. To walk in God's desires. Hallelujah. Walk in God's desires. Walk in God's will. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, not praying is a man. But I like to put it like this because everybody here understands what I'm saying. When a man doesn't pray, he's the one covering himself with his desire. He's the one doing himself. Because you have fallen prey to your desire. Jesus warned. Hallelujah. Pray that ye fall not into temptation. Hallelujah. So how do we pray? For what then do we pray for? Hallelujah. Our prayer ministry, I said. What then do we pray for? Begin to round up here. We pray for the gospel. Hallelujah. We pray for the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 1. Quickly, 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 1. And finally, brethren, pray for us. That the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is amongst you. This is that you pray for the gospel, the word of God. And it has free course. Free course. And it's glorified. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you pray for the gospel, you are praying for God's will in the earth. When you pray for the gospel, you are praying for God's will in the earth. You are praying for men. When you pray for the gospel, you are praying for men. You are praying for God's will in the earth. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. You are praying for men. Pray for God's will in the earth. Men who are in sin, that the gospel reaches them. Hallelujah. So how do you pray? Lord, I pray for my people that you're going to get my people. But I showed us, when you pray for men, when you pray for men, because God is not in the business of hypnotizing men. Because God is not in the business of hypnotizing men. You pray with, I put it like this, look at how Jesus prayed for men in Luke 22:44. Look at how Jesus prayed for men. Prayed for God's will, which is men. Hallelujah. Luke 22:44. It says, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down the ground. He was praying for God's will in the earth. He said, Lord, in verses 42, not my will, but thy will be done. And how did he pray for God's will in the earth? He was in agony. That's the word in the Greek, agonia. Agonia means he was in struggle.
was a struggle. Some people say other people pray when they pray. Bodily movement. As if they be fight. Yes. Hallelujah. Prayer is a fight. I'll show that as we get into GPLR.
Or during GPLR.
Prayer is a fight. It's a fight. It's a war. Prayer is a fight. You are fighting for men. Hallelujah. You are fighting for territories. Men. Hallelujah.
Men, territories. You are taking territories.
Hallelujah. You are taking territories in the place of prayer.
Hallelujah. See, I'm building it in you. You must understand that the believer, the life of the believer,
is, let me put it like this, it's warfare.
It does not take warfare away from the believer. Now, not when we hear warfare, not the warfare that people have known as warfare.
We are in battle. We are in battle with the devil. We are fighting the devil. No. Nothing belongs to the devil. Never been defeated, beaten, battered, bruised. They didn't have your weaponry weapon. They are every bazooka. It's the devil's camp.
Four.
No, that's not it.
So you say, let today we are entering into the occult kingdom of the devil.
We're going to scatter. How now?
Who sends you?
Hallelujah.
Sends you. You are going into Satan's step. You are going into the Satan's today.
We are going to be going into the into Satan's meeting gathering. We enter their meeting place. Where did you see that in mind? I'm not telling you you should be scared of, but you should see all those nonsense in scripture. Hallelujah. Amen.
But when you pray, you must ensure, you must see that it's warfare.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
For lies of men.
And warfare is not fighting the devil. No. Hallelujah. But you are claiming territories. You are claiming territories. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So you have Jesus, the way Jesus prayed, say he was in agony, meaning he was like, that means
when Luke uses the word agony there, it shows that the people that saw Jesus pray, they saw movement. That means Jesus wasn't praying like this. That was how Jesus was praying.
They saw movement. They would have seen movement like this.
They would have seen things like that.
Hallelujah.
They would have seen bodily movement. They would have seen. That's agony. It should be strong.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. At that point, you are already sharing the fullness of the Lord.
Glory to God.
Agony. Amen. Paul will put it like this in Galatians 4, verses 19. He said, my little children, whom I travail in vain. He said, again, till Christ be formed in me.
Who might travail in vain. That is to say, he had like, he used the word travail there. The same way a pregnant woman will have birth pangs, birth pains, like labor. Amen. Labor pains. That is to say, in the place of prayer. When they die, they don't say, why do we pray? And then, you just have to hear the shout. Oh! We don't pray and die, just, I mean, we are at that point. Hallelujah.
You're already sharing in the body of the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are sharing in his body for your sake. Hallelujah. Your emotions automatically just change.
You have yourself in that struggle.
Yeah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Like I showed us, I said, I'll permit me to use the word today. You, but you, that is groaning in the spirit. And the other thing is, Romans 8, no. Romans 8 groaning is different from this. But do you have such experiences? Yes. Amen. Amen.
So the next time you see people pray and you see them making those noise, just say, he's beating them. No. Hallelujah. Amen. You pray and you get to that point. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Agonia. It involves a struggle. He rose it. Glory to God. So we pray that way. Why? Because they are in the kingdom of darkness. And God does not hypnotize them. So to get people saved is not by sweet words. It's also in the place of prayer. I love what Kenneth Hagin said, and I heard it from Pastor Shegun. He said, we've seen too many converts and few real beds. Too many converts and few rebels. Rebels is born in the place of prayer. Want to have rebels, not converts, not people changing church, not people moving up and down. Rebels. Hallelujah. Rebels. Hallelujah. When you take over territories in the spirit, you will see. It will be hard when it's time for evangelism. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. We pray for believers, brethren. We also pray for believers. I'm just running this through. We pray for believers, brethren. Especially disciples, people who are disciples. You pray for spiritual group. Look at Paul, how he prayed for the churches. Right? In Ephesus. Pray for the church in Colossae. The church in Thessalonica. Hallelujah. He prayed for the church at Philippi. He prayed for Philemon. Look at how he prayed. He prayed for the church at... Okay. I've mentioned Colossae, right? Yeah. Hallelujah. He prayed for them. For knowledge, to grow in the knowledge of God, but you pray for believers that way. Look at Colossians 4. We found another brother. His name is Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluted you, always laboring fervently in prayer that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. That's how you pray for believers. Hallelujah. You pray for believers. Hallelujah. You pray for believers. Did you see? Yeah, pray for yourself. You pray for believers. Amen. Ephesians 6. And I've shown you several. We're not told to pray for ourselves. Why? Because we're the first recipients of the prayer. We're not told to pray for yourself. Hallelujah. Show me one place in scripture where you say, pray for yourself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's nobody who looks like that. Pray for yourself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ephesians 6:18. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You see that? So you are asked to pray for believers. You have the responsibility to pray for believers in your local church. To pray for believers. Your disciples. Believers in your PC. Members in your PC, members in yourself. Hallelujah. Pray for them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at verse 19. And for me. So you are also asked to pray for your pastors. That all trust may be given me. That I may open my mouth boldly. So you are asked to pray for your pastors. Pray for ministers. Hallelujah. Pray for ministers. For all trust. Hallelujah. Pray for ministers. In 1 Thessalonians 5:25. Look at what Paul says. Brethren, pray for us. Pray for us. So you pray for your pastors. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Acts 4:19, you pray for ministers of the gospel, pastors. Your pastor. Acts 4. Are you there? Verse 29. He says, now, O Lord, behold our trespass, and grant to thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Pray for boldness for your pastors. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You pray. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. You pray for believers also, for things in the natural for them. You also pray for your pastors too, for the things, for things in the natural. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. That they may be delivered from wicked and unreasonable men. Also too for believers. Hallelujah. To pray. We have a ministry to pray. We have a ministry of prayer. And you must never get tired. Hallelujah. I say this. When a believer begins to get tired of praying, he or she fasts life. When you begin to lose out in your prayer time, you are fast life. You don't need anybody to give you prophecy. Oh, you are going back. You are fasting. You are no longer praying. As you ought to. Hallelujah. You should be farming the flames. You should be fanning the flames of your prayer fire. And that is to say you should be making, you should be getting better in your prayer life. Not going backwards. Hope you're hearing me. Hallelujah. The prayer fire must keep getting hotter. Keep it up. Keep it burning. Keep it burning. Hallelujah. Keep it burning. Keep it burning. Keep it burning. Keep it burning. Let's burn our feet. I see the fire of God's Spirit.